Bloomberg, the first word with Ken Pruitt.
Our guest is Peter Chatwell, fixed income strategist at Credit Agricole in London. Peter, good morning.
Good morning, Ken.
Before we get into fixed income, we saw gold go over $1,600 an ounce earlier today for the first time. It's since back down to about $1,598.30. But what's that telling you about the economy?
Yeah, so it's still showing that there's a reluctance from investors to invest in other areas of the markets. And so really, I'd look at gold as being a proxy for to a degree for the safe haven bid, and just showing that there's money which is not being put at risk on the market. So it's just being tucked away into gold, which still, you know, is in a nice trend and offers various forms of protection. But I think it does just illustrate quite nicely how fears of the global economy still looking at a downturn are still quite high.
So is gold replacing U.S. government securities?
I don't think so. U.S. treasuries are still appreciating in price very nicely. You know, yields are still trending lower. So I don't think it's being replaced. I think it's just that there's a proportion of the market which is looking at the bond market, thinking, well, actually the return here, given the risks involved, is just not sufficient. So I'll move into, you know, the safe haven, which is a notch above that, and which really doesn't have a credit risk to it.
Yeah, so we have T-bills here at 0.005 again. So that's telling you that there's still demand?
Oh yes, certainly. You know, in the money market, at the short end, you know, we've seen these yields dipping negative. So I think that there's an abundance of cash in the market. So it is cash which is not being put to work in the more investable arena. So it's staying out of what's seen as riskier assets, and is just seemingly happy to continue to be rolled over in the short-term money markets for paltry yields.
We have European leaders meeting Thursday in Brussels to try to figure out what to do about the sovereign debt crisis. What's likely to come out of that?
Well, I think from what's occurred over the weekends and what we've seen on Newswire since then, there's still quite a clear discord between the various leaders, the members who'll be turning up there. So I think that there's two points to look out for, really. It's how much progress can be made with regards to the Greek crisis, and also whether or not the toolkit that the European Union, the IMF, can roll out with regards to the crisis, maybe that expands. There's been talk over the past week or two about the EFSF being back on the table, and do you remember that talk about increasing the scope of the EFSF was actually doing quite a lot of was under quite a lot of examination a few months ago. I think that's back on the table. Maybe the EFSF will be allowed to buy government paper. But I think that there's still a question mark as to how effective such a program as that would truly be, given that the EFSF is limited in size. And so I'm not sure that we would see such a positive reaction to that type of announcement as we did when the ECB first began buying government debt, because a central bank you really can't beat. You know, you can't sell as much as a central bank can buy, whereas the EFSF is finite in size, and its current size is much smaller than the debt of the total periphery. So include Italy, Spain, along with Portugal, Ireland, and Greece, and the EFSF is still much, much smaller in total.
When you look at the 10-year U.S. Treasury at still below 3%, 2.89 right now, take us through the rest of the year, Peter. What do you see for the second half?
Well, really, we've got our feeling that on fundamentals and with no further quantitative easing from the Fed, that yields will still push higher. But really what we have to caution against is the market continuing to be extremely pessimistic and doubtful on growth, and possibly factoring in further quantitative easing. Last week, Ben Bernanke, all he really did was offer a balanced view, offering just reiterating really that the Fed can tighten policy or it could indeed relax it further with more quantitative easing. But the way the market has perceived that, given its pessimistic view, is that that's increased the probability of further quantitative easing. So that's why the 10-year yield has still been able to move lower from here. So the risk we have to our view really is that the market continues to remain in this pessimistic mindset, and there really has to be a catalyst to turn this around. And whilst the peripheral crisis is ongoing, I'm not sure we can see the market change its mindset.
Peter Chadwell, fixed income strategist at Credit Agricole in London.
You can subscribe to Bloomberg's premium podcast service at Bloomberg.com/Tom Keene and listen to Bloomberg the First Word weekday mornings at 5 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM satellite radio channel 113. Copyright 2011 Bloomberg LP.